How's that stool? Do you want me to switch out for the old stool? You're really high.
Yeah, please. I've not yet sawed the legs off that one.
Stop laughing. This is erotic.
I'm on a new medication, and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah. I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did. Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
This is an Acquired Taste podcast.
I'm Kathleen, your summer lovin', high-waisted bathing suit wearing picnics in the park, Game of Thrones newbie BFF.
I'm Bethany, your snooze-hitting, trip-taking, Game of Thrones forgetting to watching, haven't left my house in 2 daysing BFF.
Hey, that's weird.
And every week, Kathleen and I meet up to discuss our lives and what's weird in the world, and we invite you to join us. This week, we have a listener email we're going to talk about, right?
Yeah, some advice that our listener leads about her boyfriend.
And I also found this really old book that was sitting on my bookshelf, which is creepy as fuck.
Does it smell good?
It smells great. We're going to talk about that.
I wish someone would bottle a perfume that was old library.
I think there might be a candle.
Or a collection of musty books.
Yeah. God, I love a musty book.
And I'm chatting about emailing like a man.
Yes.
Or like a CEO.
Yeah. Emailing not like you're apologizing.
Not like you're apologizing. Exactly.
Yeah. I got talked to about that by Dennis.
Good.
It was using way too many exclamation points to try and soften the blows of what I needed.
That is what they say. People don't take you seriously when you use a lot of exclamation points. It's very strange that we both mentioned Game of Thrones in our opener for the podcast today.
What was yours again?
Game of Thrones newbie.
Yes, that's right. You're Game of Thrones newbie. Yeah.
I am up to season 5.
Damn.
Do you hear that enthusiasm in my voice?
Yes, I'm so impressed because those are long episodes.
They are very long episodes. I am powering through and I am so sorry about anything bad or derogatory that I ever said about Game of Thrones up until this point, because it's one of the best television shows I've ever seen.
You know what? You don't understand what you don't understand.
Uh-huh.
And that's okay. And that's okay. And you know what? You just didn't know what you were missing. And how could you?
I'm going to use that at work. When somebody says something I don't like, I'm just going to look them in the eye and go, you don't understand what you don't understand.
Yeah. There's nothing I can do about
how it. How infuriating.
It's so belittling. It's like there was this one yoga tape DVD, I don't know, VHS. Who's the trainer from Biggest Loser who's really scary?
Oh, Jillian Michaels.
Yeah, it's a Jillian Michaels yoga instructional DVD. And you know, yoga is supposed to be calm.
Yes.
And she just screams at you the whole time.
I'm really glad she's not my manager.
Oh, and she just yells at one point, get comfortable with being uncomfortable. And I'm like, this is supposed to be calming.
No, I'm sorry. Yeah. It's like when you go to yoga or any sort of workout class and the teacher, instead of playing music, uses it as their time on the soapbox.
Oh.
And they just start ranting and raving about politics and what's going on in the world. And it's like, I did not go to a rally today. I came to like close my eyes and breathe deeply.
Yeah. I just came for corpse pose at the end where I get to lie on my back and not feel guilty about it.
God, someone fell asleep once in one of the classes and started snoring in Shavasana.
Bob, another Biggest Loser instructor, also had a yoga DVD. And he told me, he was much nicer, he told me that corpse pose was maybe the most important one. Mm. And so sometimes I would just do that part of the workout.
Well, you know, when I'm trying to go to sleep at night and I'm having a lot of trouble, I go through all of the, you know, that, you know, when you lay back on your back for Shavasana or corpse pose, and the teacher sometimes will go, okay, now release your jaw.
Yeah.
Now release the tension between your eyes, release the tension in your shoulders. And I kind of go over every single body part in my mind.
Yeah.
And then I feel truly relaxed because you don't realize how much tension you have stored in different body parts.
Oh, it's everywhere. Do you ever do that thing too, where you realize you haven't breathed in like 3 minutes?
Yes.
It's nuts.
Yes. And you're like, you finally take a breath and you're like, oh, that's what air in my lungs feels like.
Yeah. My brain needed that to think.
I know. So Bethany, you are back from LA.
I am, you guys. Everybody, I am so relieved that this trip is over, in that it was such a momentous thing.
Yes.
I know that
your big project is sort of being wrapped up.
Yeah. I know that I've been a little, because I don't know what I can say. I think I can say this. I wrote a script about 2 years ago. I've I've been trying to sell it. I got a sort of a grant to create this proof of concept to try and sell it. And the last year of my life has been preparing this shoot.
Yes.
And the shoot I've been preparing for happened this last Saturday. And it was a 12-hour shoot.
Wow.
I have to tell you, so they got a car for me, which is funny because my hotel was 4 minutes from set.
Oh my God, you're a celebrity.
It was crazy. So they got a car for me. I'm like reading over the script as I head to set. We pull in and the first thing that I see is the catering truck. And I'm like, oh my God, there's a catering truck. Like, this is real.
Did they have guacamole?
They had guacamole.
Oh,
they had like
blessed to the heavens.
All the stuff. And then I see, as we pull in, I see crew members wearing gloves. So they're legit like hauling and stuff. And here's my phone. Kathleen, I have to show you.
And you created this.
And that's what I was like, oh my gosh, all of these people are doing this thing because I wrote a thing and now they're shooting this thing.
Did you have one of those moments where you just kind of stood watching all of the action go on around you and you're just like, oh my God.
So like I drive in and there's Crafty, like there's all the food.
Yes.
And then that's like set.
Yeah.
There's like major cameras.
Okay, there are like a lot of people in these photos.
40 people. We had a food stylist.
Look how many muffins that they got for
you. I know. There's a lot of food in it. Like there's, I mean.
So many bagels.
Like
so many cameras.
So many people. These are two of my actors. Like just.
I think.
Like this freaking. I couldn't believe that all of these people. And I almost apologized to them for being there.
No.
I was like, I'm sorry I wrote this thing and made you cut. I didn't,
no.
Thank God. But like, I just was so floored that this was all happening because I wrote a thing and these people were here to work on this thing.
I think people, women in particular, when they work really hard on a project and it goes well and it's successful, I don't think enough of us stop down to say to ourselves, wow, you're an incredible human being, you have an incredible mind, and you did this. Women, in my experience, want to give credit to all these other people to be like, oh, well, it wasn't all me. I had a lot of help.
Yes.
And a man would be like, typically, I'm speaking very generalized.
Sure.
Yeah, of course I did it. Yeah, it was no problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, I worked really hard on it. Yeah, you know, it's just my natural talent to do this type of stuff. And that kind of stuff drives me crazy.
Well, and we should meet somewhere in the middle,
yes.
Right? Like, again, stereotypically, but like the more masculine approach to this should give some credit and the more feminine approach should take some credit.
Yeah.
But it was the most incredible experience. It's a really personal project. So like the last shot of the day was this really personal moment that I hope I get to show off someday. But it was just me and our DP, Bobby, in the room together. Like, he was about 18 inches from my face
with
the camera.
What does DP mean?
Director of photography. So, like, like the guy, he's like my camera guy. Like,
for
the guy with the camera.
Layman.
Yeah, my cinematographer, my dude.
Or is it lame men?
Layperson.
Layperson. Thank you.
Yeah. And so I had to be really, really vulnerable in this room alone with just one person. And he was incredible. And he sort of just held the space while I had to do this performance. And once it was all done, I just burst into tears when when they wrapped and it was all done. And like, and I am so proud of myself because I was so nervous about it. But I went into the day deciding to have fun instead of
freaking out.
And it changed everything.
I wish I would have done that on the day of my wedding.
Right? Go into it deciding to have fun.
Yeah.
There's no way that's not going to lead to success.
Yeah.
And it's a lesson I think a lot of us have to learn.
Somebody said to me the other day, I have this coworker who is always so happy and jovial and jolly and greets you with the biggest hello, the biggest smile. And I said to her, I said, how do you do it?
Yeah.
And she goes, I am prepared for other people's feelings, but it's not going to get me down. I looked around like there was a pot of gold coming out of a rainbow somewhere because I felt like she cracked the code to life.
I am prepared for other people's feelings, but they're not going to get me down.
Right?
That's crazy. That's amazing.
And bless her heart, she's only 24 years old, light years ahead of her age. And
yeah.
This is, it's like a piece of wisdom I I wish I would have learned 10 years ago.
Yeah, but you learned it now. And some people are, you know, our 90-year-old listeners mm-hmm. are listening to it and just learning it now. I have to get a name of something because I have a present for you.
What?
I bought you a present.
Oh, my God.
It's not very big. It's a small present.
Well, then I don't want it. Oh, I bought you a pair of earrings 6 months ago. I still can't find.
Hold on. What is happening? Kathleen. Okay, I'm going to find it at some point when we take a break, and I'm going to give it to you.
Listen, it's the thought that counts. No, it's the thought that counts. We have a lot of papers everywhere. Last time we podcasted together, I tried to burn your apartment down. So, listen, I understand if that gift never makes it to my hand.
But it will. Oh, that's so upsetting. Okay, well, I'm going to find it.
Found it.
It was on the table. It was on your coffee table.
So.
Okay, should I close my eyes?
No. Okay. So, I found this at a bookstore called Stories. It's on Sunset. If you're ever in LA, it's...
Oh my God, you're so LA right now.
It's in like the Echo Park Sunset... it's in the Echo Park Silver Lake area, whatever. Okay. It's really cute. It's called Stories. I got you this magnet because I think it encompasses our relationship.
Oh my God, Bethany! Bethany, the magnet is two skeletons, and one is holding another skeleton's spine, and the other skeleton is just basically falling apart, and it's in a pile on the floor. And underneath it says, I got your back.
Yeah!
Oh, I get it. One skeleton's holding another skeleton's spine. You know what, Bethany?
I love you.
I got your back, too. I love you more.
So anyway, that was a really big lead up to a very small gift, but it made me think of you right away, and I love you.
You know what? I have a challenge for us and for the taste buds.
What's that?
Once this week, say to somebody else who needs it, look them in the eye and say, you got this.
Yes.
You and got then, it. Yeah. Don't worry. You got it.
Yep. Means a lot. It means a lot to hear it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, did you have a good, what's going on?
I haven't
on?
Seen
good?
You in so long.
I know. I feel like I haven't talked to you.
I haven't seen you in so long. We basically haven't been in a room to podcast together in like 2 weeks, which is weird because I'm used to seeing you like 5 times a week.
Yes.
Or every 3 days or something like that.
Yeah.
But you know what? You went away to LA and you brought back the summer weather with you because the sun is shining and it's that weird time of the year where you wake up in the morning and the sun is so bright where you have a mini heart attack. You're like, oh, did I sleep past my alarm?
You're like, it's 11 and I overslept.
Yes, because we're approaching the summer solstice.
We are. Solstice.
Yeah, happy solstice. Mm-hmm. Let's like Google some spells or something to bring the crops and the good spirits to our realms.
The harvest. you're wearing the most amazing summer dress.
Oh, thank you. It's rented.
It's a white eyelet sort of bell-sleeved contraption. My favorite is that the back, it's an open back, but it ties like a swimsuit top in the back.
Yes.
Very, very, very pretty. I like it
Thank
a lot.
You. It is strapless bra season again.
Yeah,
so
it is.
I'm breaking out all of my scandalous clothing.
Mm-hmm. Well, it suits you. It shows your ankle too, which I like.
Well, you know what, Bethany? It is, it's been a really positive week, I think, for both of us.
Yes, it's been good.
And I'm feeling the love in this room. I'm feeling it in our Facebook fan group. The Taste Buds there, they've been really lifting each other up. And you know what? Positivity moving forward. Say it again. What did we learn?
We learned, I am prepared for other people's feelings, but they're not going to get me down.
Nope.
And also, just because you don't understand something, you don't understand what you don't understand.
You don't understand. Well, no, let's. That's when you want to be a bitch. You don't understand what you don't understand.
So, Kathleen, I think last week or the week before, we were talking about Bloom deodorant.
Yes, and with the probiotics.
Yes, and I've been using it. And the crazy thing to me is that I had to get used to the fact that I wasn't smelling a fake chemical smell. You smell like yourself, but not bad.
Like when your significant other is away and you sniff their pillow.
Yeah. And it just smells, it has their good smell.
Uh-huh.
It's really crazy. And it's a nice change. Mainstream deodorants and antiperspirants have aluminum, which can get absorbed into your bloodstream. So many of them test on animals. Hug Me deodorant is safe, it's sustainable, it's vegan, and it's cruelty-free.
So Hug Me deodorant, they are made with probiotics. The probiotics encourage your body to make more good bacteria, and as a result, your body produces less bad bacteria, so your BO doesn't stink.
Yeah, and they have a 30-day satisfaction guarantee, or you get your money back.
Hug Me deodorant by Bloom keeps you feeling good, feeling fresh, and super huggable. Right now, they want our Acquired Taste listeners to get 25% off of their first stick and free shipping when you text BFF to 797979.
This is a special offer you can't get anywhere else, and you support an Acquired Taste when you support our sponsors. So text BFF to the numbers 797979 to get 25% off your first stick of Hug Me deodorant.
If you don't love it, return it for a full refund, no questions asked. Text BFF to 797979. Okay, listener advice time.
We are not professional advice givers, so don't sue us. That's legal. That's legally binding, right?
That is, yes, yeah.
Yeah, don't come after us. We don't know what we're doing.
Judge Judy is actually our personal attorney for this podcast, and she gave us that phrase to use before listener advice.
Don't sue us.
Everybody was really excited for Judge Judy on the internets yesterday.
Why?
Because she got a new haircut.
Did she?
Yes.
Is it good?
It used to be like very high coif. Yeah. Like something that aged her a little bit.
A little bit.
And now it's sort of like a more demure hair around her face. Makes her look a little bit more youthful.
Wait, let's see.
Fun?
She ditches her signature bob for a longer ponytail.
Yes. Fun fact, Judge Judy and Barbara Walters are BFFs.
What?
Yes.
Isn't Judge Judy... This is a pre-roll. I don't want a pre-roll.
Judge Judy is one of the highest, if not the highest, paid women on television.
She has a compound in Florida.
Because of syndication.
Dude, gotta get that syndication. My goal in life, get on a TV show, be on enough episodes where it gets syndicated, and then you just make that TV money for the rest of your life until one of your male co-stars touches a kid.
And
then you never get to make that money again.
R.I.P. Seventh Heaven.
Yeah.
What are they saying about her hair?
I can't find any pictures. It's like they didn't have the right to the photo. Oh, there it is. Good for her. Rock that ponytail.
Yeah.
Everyone deserves to rock a ponytail.
It's a little bit more youthful, right?
Yeah, I like it a lot.
As opposed to like the very high coiffed, like...
Which you know took a lot of like roller sets.
Corn on the cob, Marge Simpson type thing.
Yeah. And all right.
Okay, listen.
Kathleen, what is our listener letter advice situation?
Okay, this comes from Sophie.
Okay. Are we allowed to use her name?
Yes, and I'll tell you why later. Okay.
Is it Sophie Turner from Game of Thrones? Is it Sansa Stark?
It's not Sansa Stark.
Sansa Stark Jonas?
Sophie Penny.
Oh, wow.
Which is a famous person name, but not really, because I'll explain later.
Okay. I'm really excited.
Sure. It's, hi, Bethany and Kathleen.
Hello, Sophie Turner.
I love your podcast. I've been listening from the start, and I need some advice from you. I'll start with giving you a little bit of background on myself.
Thank God.
I'm 23 years old, and I recently had a large career change, which has made me significantly happier.
Good.
I'm making less money, but I'm also working less hours and in a much better environment.
Good.
And in a career that I really wanted to pursue with much better bosses.
Damn, Sophie.
Listen, we can all take a note from Sophie here.
Yeah. When I was 23, I was 2 years away from a nervous breakdown. It sounds like she's doing better.
Yeah, just a little bit better. Sure, so I live with my boyfriend. We've been together for 3.5 years. We'll call him Frank.
Okay.
Also, don't worry about changing my name if you decide to talk about this on your podcast, because it's a fake name and a fake email address.
Whoa, Sophie!
So Frank is 25 years old. We've been living together for almost 2 years. Things were really great for us for a while, but then our relationship hit a rough patch about a year in, and due to some dishonesty on my part, which we still haven't finished working through, we're still in that rough patch.
So Sophie robbed a bank.
Yes, exactly.
And didn't tell Frank.
Mm-hmm. Okay. At the same time we began our rough patch, Frank began to lose all of his best friends from childhood, and they just grew apart, and they weren't good friends to him at all. But what Frank values in his life is relationships.
Okay.
And when everything hit him all at once, he took it really hard. He doesn't have much in terms of family, so for him and me, his friends are his family.
Gotcha.
And his support system. So with that being weakened, it threw him into a very dark place.
So he and Sophie are having a hard time, and then all of his friends are like piecing out.
Okay. Exactly. On the surface, he seems fine, but underneath, he's very unmotivated. He quit college way before I met him because he wanted to pursue a career in boats.
In boats?
Yeah, taking care of boats, like on the docks and
like
stuff.
Like getting the zebra mollusks off of there?
Yeah.
Because you got to get those off before they come on land, or they'll populate. They'll fuck up your boat.
Is that like in the Caribbean?
No, I feel like I remember when I lived in Wisconsin, I remember like boating PSAs would be on our local news like, remember to scrape off the zebra mollusks because they're like weeds.
I just recently learned that Wisconsin touches water, so
yeah,
that's a cool thing to like put in my spider web of Wisconsin facts.
Name three other Wisconsin facts in your spider web, Kathleen.
Wisconsin's state food is cheese.
I don't probably.
And also, it's very close to Minnesota.
It's yes. You have one more that you need to. I asked for three.
And
you are literally scratching your head like Winnie the Pooh.
Damn it! Wisconsin's capital is Madison.
Yeah,
there you go.
You being smart about Wisconsin. Back to Sophie.
When we first met, he seemed so motivated to get his captain's license and start working more consistently. But through this rough patch, which has now lasted 2.5 years.
That's not a patch.
He still hasn't made any progress at all and still only works 2 days a week at the same place he's been at since he dropped out of college 5 years ago. He kept saying he was going to get his captain's license by 2018, but now he's saying he doesn't have enough money for the course. He's always strapped for cash, which I've been very understanding of, and I've offered to give him the money for the course.
No, 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 Sophie.
He declined because he doesn't want to owe me any more money.
Good.
Emphasis on more, I guess. My words, not Sophie's. But then even his mom offered to pay for it, and he declined her as well. I always try to motivate him to look for different gigs, even finding him some gigs myself. But most of the time, he's just at home playing video games, hanging out with one of his friends, or he'll just barely tidy up the house.
Is he holding out for a manager's position?
That's probably a movie reference, but I don't understand it.
It's from National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
His behavior is becoming increasingly difficult for me to manage. I feel like I'm his mother a lot of the time and always asking him what he has plans to do all day or when he's going to go out again and look for a job. On top of it all, he doesn't even have a car anymore or any way to get around. His car is broken, his motorcycle is broken, and he doesn't have any money to fix them. So he depends on using my car or my scooter to get around. I really don't know what to do. I've had so many conversations with him about how he needs to find a job and start doing what he wants, but nothing changes. He just argues that he doesn't care about making money and all he really values in this life are relationships with people he loves. But since that's also lacking in his life, he isn't happy. And it doesn't seem like he cares that he's unhappy. I tried to get him to see someone, but he won't. And I know his mom would pay for it because she says that she would do anything to help him change. Oh, even when I had a higher paying job, I always looked for odd jobs and gigs to make more money. I never had an easy home life and my family didn't have much. So I always want to take care of the people around me, but I can't keep paying for so many things. I want to be spoiled sometimes. I want to know that I have a partner who's trying their best and this just isn't the case. Don't get me wrong. He's a wonderful, loving man who has taught me so much. He can be very emotionally intelligent. He isn't afraid to be vulnerable and cry in front of me. He just isn't motivated to work. I am so tired of talking about the same issues and nothing ever gets resolved between the two of us. It's really getting to me that sometimes he points out that I come home from work and watch TV and sit on the couch and smoke weed. But that is literally what he does every day.
This guy is amazing.
I need to relax after a long day at work and he's yelling at me for doing nothing. I don't even bother to respond because I don't have the fight in me anymore. I just really resent him right now and I selfishly don't want to break things off because I love being able to live where we live and I know that everything would have to change if we broke up.
Why?
He can be so great to me sometimes, but his unmotivated behaviors just start to leak into my own personal life as well. Sometimes I just want to stay home and do nothing because that's what he does all day, but I don't have a choice the way he does. Any words of advice would be so greatly appreciated. I know this is a really long letter and I tried to condense it, but it's a lot of stuff weighing on my shoulders. Thank you, ladies. I hope to hear from you soon. Much
Sophie.
Love. Sophie.
Sophie. Yeah. You don't have the choice to stay home all day the way he does because you're giving him the choice to stay home. Break up with him.
Yeah.
Break up with
him.
Break up.
Break up.
Break up with him.
He's shown his true colors.
Break up with him.
He's never going
to
change.
No, because he doesn't have to.
Because he's not showing any will to want to change.
No, because he doesn't have to. Because he knows that, like, and I'm not mad at you, Sophie. I'm yelling out of passion, not because I'm mad at you.
Yeah, we're yelling because we care.
Yeah, because it's, of course, if you had someone who gave you a place to live and also didn't really make you get a job, you would also not get a job. Well, you probably would because you sound like you are motivated.
Yeah,
but like,
I mean, we can tell from this letter, Sophie, that you are highly motivated. You're a hard worker.
Yeah.
You value the work that you do at your job. And you just come home and you probably pay all of the rent.
Yep, Probably.
You probably buy all of the groceries.
Yep, probably.
And he works 2 days a week. Like, that would never, ever, ever fly for me.
No.
Unless I was a trust fund baby, in which case I would still expect my partner to contribute to society in a way that I felt was valuable.
Yes. He, and it also sounds like I'm putting a little bit of this on his parents, too.
Yeah.
Because it also sounds like they are... They have enabled him to not do things.
Yeah.
And so none of this is your fault. You have just grown apart and you guys have been together for a long time and you got together very young.
Yeah.
If you're 23 now and you've been with each other for 2-3 years, you are in your late teens and in your 20s, you are a drastically different person year to year.
Yes.
There's so much growing that happens in that period of time that the difference between a 20-year-old and a 25-year-old is much different than the difference between a 35-year-old and a 40-year-old.
Yes.
Right? So you two have just grown apart because you were kids when you got together.
Yeah.
And now you're a grown-up and he's a kid.
When I had just graduated from college, so I was 21, my then-boyfriend, now husband, he was 23. He was stuck in a job where he was really miserable.
Yeah.
And I was not very understanding. And I said, I'm out of here. I think you're unmotivated.
Mm-hmm.
And we broke up. And it was kind of necessary for our relationship to move forward, but he didn't stay in that state of unhappiness and
yeah.
unmotivation. He saw me leave the
yeah.
relationship. He figured out what he wanted. He got a job immediately. And when we rekindled, it was like he was a totally different human. He didn't show me his colors. He showed me that he wanted to change. He was capable of change and he
yeah.
was ready to keep, you know, moving up and out.
Yeah. That's the perfect example. Sophie, like if you, and I'm not saying leave as an ultimatum. I'm saying leave.
Leave, period. It's been too long.
Yeah. And if he decides to change, then maybe.
25 is too old for this type of behavior.
No, it's like, come on.
Yeah.
Get your life together. I understand that some parts of the country are more expensive to live in than others. Does she say where she is?
No.
Do they say where they are?
No.
So I'm from the Midwest. It's very typical to move out as soon as you leave high school.
Yeah.
Like you move out, you go to college. Maybe you live at home if you go to college in the same city. But like once you're done, you move out of your parents' house.
Yeah.
Now, that's a little different because it's more affordable to live out there. My first apartment, I had two roommates. I paid $200 a month.
Oh my goodness.
But that also means that like even if you're living at home, let's say on the East Coast, you still have to have a job and
yes.
be a grown up and pay taxes and do all of that stuff. And he just isn't. He isn't motivated to do that because he doesn't have to.
I think hard work is one of the things that I value most in a person.
Yes.
I mean, when I was 21, I graduated from college during the height of the recession in 2008. I had a day job. Then I had an hour to eat a sandwich. And then I had a nighttime job.
Yeah.
Just because I knew that I needed to make all the money that I could possibly make because opportunities were few and far between.
And this is now a time where you can have 17 side jobs because we're in a gig economy.
Yes.
So if you want to work.
I love that term, gig economy.
Gig economy, yeah. I mean, look, it's not going to get you health insurance, but it's going to get you some extra money if you're like, oh, I only have 5 hours between my TV watching and my testicle scratching and my Xbox gaming.
Yeah.
I have like 5 hours. Then go drive a Lyft.
Yeah. It's not cool, Sophie. You deserve so much better. You deserve a partner who's going to take care of you like you take care of them.
Mm-hmm.
You deserve a partner that when you need a break, they pick up the slack.
Yes.
They treat you like the queen that you are.
And there's something that she said where she was like, he's not a bad person. I feel like there's this misconception that you can only end a relationship if the other person's a bad person.
It's not true.
They can be a perfectly wonderful person. My parents
yeah.
got divorced. They're both wonderful people. They just grew apart.
Yeah. It's just this guy, Frank, is not Sophie's person.
Yeah. He's maybe someone else's person.
Yeah, exactly. Sophie, oh, honey, just because you've spent 3 years with him, that's nothing. That's a drop in a bucket.
Yeah. In the length of overall life, it's not much. I wish I knew why she would have to move if they broke up. She said she likes where they're living.
It's not a reason. You know what? Kick him out. If you're paying the full rent anyway, or you're giving him money to make up expenses, you could probably afford that full rent yourself if he's only working 2 days a week.
I wonder if they're living at his parents' house.
Kick him out.
Or leave. Like, if you're living with his mom, which is maybe what's happening.
Leave.
Leave.
Get
Find a
roommate.
Place. Yeah. Yeah. You will be so, so, so much happier. And then, like, if you really love him, maybe he'll prove himself. But, like, he's not doing that now.
I'm going to say, and it's probably going to be an unpopular opinion, but I think for the most part, people do not change.
No.
I think once they show their hand, once you get to be into your mid-20s, late-20s, there is very little possibility that this person's going to do a 180.
Yeah.
I was going to say 360, but then you would end up in the same spot.
Back to the same spot. No, I think so, unless something makes them change, unless they have a life experience that makes them see things differently. But I don't know if it's ever worked where you can intellectually convince someone to make a life change. I think they have to experience repercussions.
Yes.
And you feel like a parent, so give some repercussions to your boyfriend's son, and I think you should leave. And Kathleen thinks you should leave.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah, you deserve better, Sophie, Sansa Stark.
Peace out.
You're a queen.
Own this.
Ugh. Blech.
If you need Bethany and I to help you come over and move, we can do that. We're strong.
I don't know if I volunteered. Kathleen, I must say your skin is glowing.
Thank you. I've been really adamant with my BioClarity cleanser.
BioClarity has two different skincare routines that you can use, the Clear Skin or the Essentials. We both use the Clear Skin because we're 13-year-old girls who break out.
Yes, we are.
It's for combination oily or breakout-prone skin, and it comes with everything you need to get that clear, glowing skin that Kathleen has right now.
Yeah, so three easy steps.
Yes.
You can do it. I can do it. We can all do it together. Cleanse, treat, and restore.
Yes.
Since I started using BioClarity, particularly lately, because I've been very consistent with my routine, my skin has been so much clearer.
The three-step regimen gets rid of breakouts, it clears and calms your skin, and it's packed full of detoxifying nutrients. It's also an antioxidant, and it includes their super special ingredient only in BioClarity called Floralux that comes from plants.
It's 100% vegan, cruelty-free, paraben-free, sulfate-free, and artificial fragrance-free, and there's a 100% risk-free money-back guarantee.
So get healthier, more radiant skin by going to bioclarity.com. And right now for our listeners, you're going to save 40% on a skincare routines. Plus, you get an additional 15% off everything on their website. It's an incredible deal, but you have to enter our code ACQUIRED at checkout. Don't forget there's a C in that. ACQUIRED.
So go to bioclarity.com and get 40% off of your skincare routines, plus an additional 15% off of everything on their website when you use our code ACQUIRED, ACQUIRED at checkout. Bethany, do you want to feel my cheek? It's so soft.
It's like a baby, but without all that care you have to do, like feeding it.
All right, Bethany, what's this pink book in front of you?
So I was going through my bookshelf because I bought some books when I was traveling. I had to put them away alphabetically.
Oh, I can smell it from here. It smells so good.
It's like, yeah, it's like old. So this is a book that I apparently own called What I Know About Girls.
What is the year that this thing was published? It looks ancient.
It is the picture story originally appeared in Coronet magazine, January 1952.
Oh, so fairly recent.
Yeah, you know, not that long ago, but it definitely looks like it's way older than 1952. It's called What I Know About Girls by Lewis Redmond, and it's creepy as hell. So I don't know the reason this was written ever. The side paragraph on the inside cover says Lewis Redmond, or Louis, I don't know. Lewis Redmond, who worships little girls, has caught the magic that makes all of us melt in the presence of women, especially when they are between the ages of 3 and 8.
No. This is a how-to for pedophiles?
This is so creepy. And we think you'll agree that the photographs and text in these pages go together as rightly as do wind and grass or a poet and his poem. On the back it goes, if you own a little girl, you should paste her picture opposite any photograph in this book which reminds you of her. Do you own a little girl, Kathleen?
No, I can't say I do.
You'll discover that Mr. Redmond has put into words your own delight and wonder at so marvelous a possession.
Just the phrase owning in reference to another human is making me so uncomfortable.
If you merely know a little girl, by the way, they capitalize little and girl, or expect to know one, there's time to do this later. So little girls are great possessions.
First name little, last name girl.
Uh-huh. So what I know about girls... I won't read the whole thing, but my God. This is a picture of something called a little girl. Little girls, they're always capitalized.
Did you just read that verbatim?
Uh-huh. This is a picture of something called a little girl. Little girls are a unique and fortunate occurrence in nature, like diamonds or four-leaf clovers. Many creatures have young females, but only people have little girls.
Well, let me tell you how unique it is. 50% of the population have once been little girls at a point.
The personality of a little girl is divided into four parts. These are known as 1, little girl in starched dress. 2, little girl in t-shirt and dungarees. 3, little girl with just washed hair. And 4, little girl with dirty face.
Oh, those are all my favorite flavors of little girls.
Each of these personalities fits her as if it were the only one. In later years, men who feel like imposters every time they change into new clothes will marvel at the ease with which the girl transforms herself from perfect in tennis togs to perfect in evening dress.
You know what? That's the one thing in the book that you've read so far that I agree with. Because us ladies can change our looks so much and make it look effortless. And guys, they have like 2 options. Dungarees or khaki slacks or linen pants or seersucker if they're really feeling frisky.
Little girls are the only things that can be in 2 places at 1 time. A boy, being earthbound, must get off his bicycle before he can climb into a tree. But a little girl can fly with the robin to her nest while pedaling rapidly down the street.
Wait, oh my goodness, other people were celestial bound and earthbound as children too? Yes. I had no idea.
Yes. Every so often, little girls break out in a fever of, quote, useful activity. Again, capital U, capital A.
Because most of our activity is unuseful. Yeah.
They appear without warning in aprons and dust caps and start washing dishes, tidying up rooms, and sticking forks into roasts.
All the things that little girls were born to do.
Their competence is overwhelming. Like small beavers gnawing down trees, they appear to know without having learned.
Come on, a beaver reference? Get out of here.
A boy playing businessman is an indifferent imitation of his father, but a little girl playing house is the real thing. All this is encouraging for the future of the species. It sometimes happens that when a little girl has finished her chores, she begins to slide down the banister. This, too, is encouraging for the species.
Okay, is he talking about little girls or is he talking about the movie Mary Poppins? This is insulting. Is this guy still alive? I want to punch him in his face.
Little girls who have become tarnished through exposure to air can be restored by immersing them in a solution of soap and water. They appear to enjoy this treatment and will come out looking brand new. They differ in this respect from boys, who are not fully washable and will shrink in self-esteem if placed in water. Every little girl should be taught to understand, or at least to put up with, a boy's need for a protective coating of grime.
No.
Otherwise, she may, later in life, commit such errors as burning her husband's bathrobe just as it is about to become broken in.
No, 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 no. All of this, no.
This is true. A little girl's emotions are as big as forever. Nobody is sadder than a sad little girl.
That is very true. That is the truest truth I've ever truthed.
Maybe it is smart of little girls to let the tears run until they are all gone and never let any old tears hang around to spread a mist over the next rising of the sun.
Can we make an amendment and write also for little boys too?
Yes, it's the same damn book. Let's just write the same book.
Little boys get to cry. Are allowed to feel their feels too.
Yeah. By the way, here they have a picture of a little girl sobbing. So instead of comforting her, they were like, now hold that.
Hold that.
Now, here's a creepy-ass little girl screaming with laughter.
Oh, she's not creepy. She's just happy.
No, that girl has a knife underneath the picture that you can't see.
Oh, she does not.
It is the inside of little girl filled to the brim with laughter, and it is quite hard for her to keep some from spilling out whenever she is tipped over ever so slightly.
Oh, my gosh.
If you pick a girl up and tip her upside down, all the laughter will fall out.
Mm-hmm. And it's pink.
And it's pink. The main thing about little girls is that they are beautiful. No little girl can help being beautiful.
Well, this guy didn't see me as a little girl because I was a cretin.
Such an ugly little girl. I started my awkward phase at around 8.
Yeah, I mean, I looked like Donald Trump, so.
She's such a young Donald Trump
on the prairie.
She is beautiful because she is new and simple, because everything is ahead of her, because she is so ready to be pleased. My right eye is twitching. Do you see the right eye twitching?
Yeah, because you're so angry.
She does not try to hide the gentleness and wonder that are in her, because she trusts you, because she looks at you as if she thinks you are very nice, and because when she does, you are. A little girl is life's new try to make everything come out better. That is why it is spring somewhere every time a little girl is born.
Well, that's just false.
That is so much pressure. That is too much pressure,
you know,
for little girls.
I have a lot of qualms about 2019.
Yeah.
But I'm real glad that we didn't live when this book was published. I mean, the book itself just looks ancient. It's kind of like a worn pink. It's been faded by sun and there's a picture of a girl on the front.
I don't know how I came into possession of this book. I don't know where it came from.
Like somebody gave it away or sold it at a yard sale or something.
Like, I'm guessing that a grandparent of mine had it. But I don't, there's no name, and my grandparents usually wrote their names inside their books, so I don't know.
Do you think this was considered a charming coffee table book at one time?
Oh, totally. And I think that this Lewis Redman is, like, trying to be, like, complimentary and progressive about little girls. Like, see how much better they are than boys? But really, it's just, like, boys get to be dirty and have fun, and, like, little girls better do a lot of whimsical thinking and then washing of dishes.
And then prove that they're simple.
Yeah. But that made me think about other old-timey things like the 90s. So,
oh, speaking of which, Jagged Little Pill, the musical, is about to come out based on the Alanis Morissette album that is my favorite album of all time, To Find My Life.
That's what you and my dad have in common. He loves that album.
I still don't know the definition of ironic to this day.
Do we know who plays... What's it about?
I don't know. I'm not really sure, but I'm going to show up for the music.
Yeah.
But they just started to play the commercials on the radio, and I've been getting ads on my Facebook for Jagged Little Pill, the musical.
Yeah. Oh, I have to look into that. I'm excited.
Sorry for that tangent. You mentioned the 90s, and I had to spit it out.
Never apologize for a tangent. So I don't know which magazine this might be from 17. Who will make your heart sing this spring, Kathleen?
Okay.
Find the guy you're totally in tune with.
Ooh.
All right. Now, your options. Do you want to know who the four potential options at the end are, or do you want to be surprised?
No, I want to know what they are.
Okay. It could be Zac Efron.
Oh.
A creative cutie.
Mm.
It could be Pete Wentz, a hot rocker.
Ooh.
It could be Chase. A sporty dude. Chase doesn't have a last name.
I have no idea.
Is that Chase Crawford?
Oh, yeah, that's Chase Crawford.
Chase Crawford.
From Gossip Girl.
Or it could be Chris Brown, a soulful singer.
Oh, Lord. 17. Oh, yes, Chris Brown. I would like to go to prom with Chris Brown.
All right, Kathleen, let's find the guy you're totally in tune with. Play,
okay.
Gentle listener, play at home.
Let's go.
Ah, love. You wish your crush would make you a mix CD with songs by A, the Plain White Tees, or B, the Jonas Brothers.
Jonas Brothers.
Okay.
But, like, wait, Joe Bros then or Joe Bros now?
Joe Bros then.
Plain White Tees.
Okay, Plain White Tees. All right. It brings us to another part then.
Mm-hmm.
Your crush says you should pick where to go on your date. You choose either a rockin' concert or a quiet dinner.
A quiet dinner.
Great. Best friends say you would never leave your house without your cell phone or your iPod.
My cell phone.
Okay. Ooh.
Gotta play Snake.
You've landed on a creative cutie. It takes kind words and sweet smiles to win your heart. Lucky for you, an artistic guy like Zac Efron will be writing you love poems to make you blush into the summer.
Lucky for me, when he glows up, he's got some washboard abs.
Woof.
Oh, did you see the new thing that he's on Netflix, the Ted Bundy show?
I haven't seen it.
And it has the longest name ever.
It's like extremely dangerous and awful and also really, really scary.
It's just
the Ted Bundy story.
Whomever named this time capsule of Ted Bundy's life, very bad. But
I wonder if it comes from like something they wrote about him or something.
The show was good. It's kind of like a movie.
Okay.
There's no episodes, and it's about Ted Bundy's life when he starts to get captured and he keeps escaping from jail. Which I had no idea that he did that.
He was crazy.
He escaped from jail like 10 times.
And he would he represented himself in court too. My goal in life is to get on a jury where the dude decides to defend himself, because that's always going to be fun.
So Zac Efron was really good in that. He was extremely hot.
But Ted Bundy was said to be very attractive, which is how he got all of his people.
A hottie with a body. Zac Efron went heavy on the self-tanner for this movie. Heavy.
All right. So I'm going to take it now just to see.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm going to find the guy I'm totally in tune with. So, ah, love. My eye is still twitching. Should I be worried about that?
I don't know. Should we consult a doctor?
Will you Google why is my eye twitching while I take this quiz?
I got you back.
Make sure to specify it's the right eye, because that might be a different part of the brain.
The mathematics part of the brain.
Start. Ah, love. You wish your crush would make you a mix CD with songs by... You chose the Plain White Tees, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to choose the Joe Bros. Finally, The Weeknd. You can't wait to wake up Saturday morning and hit the mall or play your fave tunes. I probably was a mall hitter.
Okay.
Hit the mall. Oakwood Mall. Mm. Lots of good stores at Oakwood Mall. With all the reality shows on the tube.
The tube. Nobody calls it anymore.
With all the reality shows on the tube, you find yourself watching American Idol or Extreme Makeover.
Oh.
Ooh, I think Extreme Makeover. You love boys, but you would never date a guy who was either lazy, 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 or a bad dancer.
I like how 17 used to assume that it was a boy. I'm telling you, I go to 17.com every day to get my news. They're really good about inclusivity and not just assuming that it's boys that girls like.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say I would never date a guy who was lazy, 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 which is good because a bad dancer would lead me to Chris Brown. Lazy, lazy, lazy. So my crush is a sporty dude. An athletic guy like Chase is just what you need for spring. You two will spend hours outside soaking up the warm weather together. No, I don't.
Chase Crawford's hot, Bethany. Be happy.
I don't want to be outside in the warm weather. Too much sun.
Okay, well, if he is anything like his character in Gossip Girl, he can just hire somebody to hold an umbrella over your head.
None of these guys suit me.
Chase Crawford really hasn't gone anywhere since Gossip Girl, and that's sad because I think he's a really good actor.
Chris Brown. Nothing makes you melt more than a caring guy like Chris. Your sweet crush will take you on amazing dates you'll never forget, and then will punch you in your car after the Grammys.
Deny punching you. Hope your dress is black because it'll give you an eye to match.
And then a hot rocker, Pete Wentz. You're a fab femme who loves to have a good time, like letting loose. A rock star like Pete Wentz will totally compliment your wild child ways.
I have never been attracted to Pete Wentz. I don't think he's particularly bad looking.
No.
He's just like not my cup of tea.
Do you know what I like about him?
Yeah.
He has ever so slightly an underbite, which I find very attractive. A slight underbite is really, really cute.
Well, you're trying to do it now, and you're mumbling your words.
I once dated a guy solely because he had a slight underbite. It was the first thing I noticed about him.
I've never noticed anybody's just bite before.
Just a little, just not like a too much of an underbite, and you can like put a biscuit in their jaw and hold it there. But like a slight one is just like their teeth are like aligned instead of their top teeth landing. Just a little bit
of an underbite.
Just a little, like a slight.
It's just hurting. I think this is gonna
too much underbite.
It's gonna aggravate my TMJ.
Just like a little.
Do you remember when having a gap between your two front teeth on the top was very popular?
Yes.
There are a couple of models that were really big for United Colors of Benetton.
Well, there was that episode of there was that season of America's Next Top Model where they widened her gap. They put a drill in there.
That's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of America's Next Top Model, did you see Tyra Banks today?
No.
Girl came out of retirement and she's on the cover of Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue 2019.
Good for her.
She looks so good.
Good for her.
Yes.
She's great.
And I love that Sports Illustrated is not afraid to put a woman who's not 19 on the cover.
An old lady like Tyra.
Oh, Lord.
An old lady like
she's
Tyra.
Practically a witch.
Get off my lawn.
Okay.
Wait, so why is my eye twitching?
Okay, so reasons that your eye are twitching. You ready?
The right one.
Stressed? Are you stressed?
Yes. Always.
Are you fatigued?
Yes. No, I woke up this morning at 8 and then went back to bed and woke up again at 11.
So you're not fatigued?
So no.
Do you have eye strain? Digital eye strain?
Yeah, probably. I was looking at Page Six last night. I always like to see if anyone I know has gotten into trouble.
They say you should follow the 20/20 rule when using digital devices. Every 20 minutes, look away from your screen and allow your eyes to focus on something in the distance, at least 20 feet away for 20 seconds or longer. And this reduces fatigue that may trigger eye twitching.
That's a lot of math.
I can already answer this next question, but have you had caffeine today?
Oh, all of it. I had so much of it. Yeah. I had 4 cups when I first woke up, and then I went back to bed immediately, and then I had 2, and now just this other one.
That may be the agent that's acting in the chemistry of your body.
Okay, but if I don't have it, I'll get sad, Kathleen.
Have you had alcohol today?
No.
Mm-mm. Do you have dry eyes?
No.
Hmm.
Maybe. Look, it's still twitching.
Like Jennifer Aniston, she always has dry eyes.
Does she?
Always has dry eyes, and she's always thirsty for water.
Smart water. I like their sparkling is my favorite brand of sparkling.
And do you have allergies?
No, I'm okay.
And are you planning a trip to space?
No, thank God.
Okay, good. So you're healthy.
That seems stressful. Can you imagine? Would you ever do that? Like, we're going to Mars. You have to go. You'll never see your family again.
Yeah, absolutely.
No.
Bethany, I prepared for this at space camp.
No.
Yes.
Would you go to Mars and say goodbye to your whole family?
Yes.
You'll never see them again.
Yes. No, I know. I take that back.
My God.
Could I take my cat?
No, never. See, you're no.
I could just pull it out of your face if you want me to. Your eye.
Eye twitch? Yeah. No, I need it. I'm wearing my third love bra today.
Me too. It's a new one.
What? It's cute.
Wait, you see that?
Your boobs look amazing. What shape breasts do you have? Mine are like a teardrop.
Mine are down, yeah, teardrop.
Yeah, like, I learned that from my third love quiz.
If I don't wear a bra for long enough, they touch my knees.
That's a special skill. You should put that on your resume, special skills.
Let's talk about third love.
Yeah, because we have it already.
If you don't know already, Bethany and I are obsessed with bras from Third Love. I'm telling you, we're both in breasty heaven right now.
Oh, yeah.
We're bestie breasties.
Yes.
With comfortable boobies.
Third Love is the most comfortable bra you are ever, ever, ever going to wear. That's because they put so much thought into their bras, more sizes than most other brands. Perfect fit. There's like data points that they've used millions of women to get the data, all sorts of math and charts. Lots of pie charts and Venn diagrams have made them the best size fitting bras ever made by science.
So you go to thirdlove.com and they give you a quiz. It's about the shape of your breasts, mm-hmm. you know, what kind of size bra that you typically wear. And at the end of it, they give you your size. And the amazing thing is that they have half sizes. Nobody else has half sizes.
No.
I was a half size, and it's changed my life in terms of bras.
Plus, every customer has 60 days to wear it, wash it, put it to the test. If you don't love it, they don't get mad at you. They won't shake their fist. You just return it, and then Third Love washes it and donates it to a woman in need.
Your straps are not going to slip, and they're tagless, so there's no itching.
And as we head into summer, it can be really hot wearing bras. But I like Third Love because their bras are lightweight. They have really thin memory foam cups, so they mold to your shape, but you don't feel like you're wearing this super heavy, sweaty thing in the middle of the summer. Third Love knows there's a perfect bra for everyone. So right now they're offering our listeners 15% off your first order.
Go to thirdlove.com/taste to find your perfect fitting bra and get 15% off of your first purchase.
That's thirdlove.com/taste for 15% off today.
Do it, do it, do it.
Your boobs are going to feel amazing. Kathleen.
Yes.
Give us the tips for how to email like a CEO.
Okay.
I need to stop putting exclamations after everything.
So this is kind of a thing I've been seeing. It's been popping up in a couple of articles here and there. Why you should email like a man.
Yeah.
Not that these things are targeted towards me or
anything.
So there's a CNBC anchor. Her name is Maria...
Bartiromo?
Yes, Maria Bartiromo.
Love her name. She also has amazing lips.
Oh, does she?
Mm-hmm. Pillowy.
I'm usually an MSNBC girl.
Great.
So earlier in the year, she announced that one of her New Year's resolutions was to email like a guy.
Uh-huh.
And that is because there's this theory going around that women don't get respected in the workplace enough because they use what's called permission words.
Like what?
Like I feel.
Mm.
I think.
Yeah.
The word just.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of exclamation points.
Uh-huh.
So instead of saying, I know that apples are red.
Yeah.
Which is what a guy might say.
Yeah.
A woman might say, well, it's just that I think apples are red.
Yeah. With an exclamation point. So no one gets mad because they know you're smiling when you say it.
And then you add a smiley face. Yeah, exactly.
In a business email, which I've done.
So I do this all the time and I've been making a concerted effort lately to stop. And I feel like I'm being too frank or I feel like I'm being too short.
Yeah. Like and people are going to think you're mad.
Yeah. But you know what? I don't care anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want a whole fluffy email. Just get to the point of it.
Yeah. So I was once writing an email in front of Dennis and it was important. So I had him reread it just so I made sure it made sense.
Yeah.
And he was like, you need to get rid of all of these exclamation points.
You don't need it.
But it sounded like I was angry. But when I read other emails from people and they don't have exclamation points, I never think they're angry.
Yeah.
I'm just like, that's an email. These are facts. I'm giving you the facts.
So BuzzFeed put out this article that said, I tried emailing like a CEO. Quite frankly, it made my life better. The author of this is Katie Notopoulos. Notopoulos.
That's a good name.
She's a Greek. She said that
she's a Greek.
I'm just assuming.
Jessie Katsopoulos.
On her last name. So she was saying that the editor in chief of BuzzFeed, he puts most of what he has to say in the subject line of the email.
See, that to me is troubling because sometimes I don't read the subject and then I miss information.
No, see, I don't read the body. I only read the subject. I think that's a brilliant idea.
Okay, fair. All right, I see the point.
Okay, so she was saying that sometimes at work, emails will slip through the cracks. Usually she's really diligent, but every now and then something does slip through the cracks and it causes a problem because something doesn't get done. You don't communicate something to someone. And so she decided to write emails like with one word answers.
Yeah.
And when Hillary Clinton, when the whole email hacking scandal came out, people were talking about how Hillary is very terse in her emails. Like she'll write to somebody, where are we on this?
Yeah.
Not like, hey, how you doing?
Yeah.
Like, just checking up on this. Like, no, not even a hello, not even a goodbye. Just where are we on this? Question mark.
It's easier. There's too much to do.
So the point that Katie makes in this BuzzFeed article, she says, I doubt many bosses sit staring at their employees' emails trying to figure out what the word okay really means.
Yes.
I mean, I do a lot of overanalyzing.
Yeah.
Like, what was the tone that this person wrote this email in? Da, 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 da. And then I get sick to my stomach because I think I'm going to show up to work the next day and be fired. And really, it was just okay.
No, it's fine. The okay means okay. And if you're so busy, which Kathleen, you are so busy, I know so many of our listeners are, when you receive an email, you don't have time to try to figure out what they meant. You just have time to read the facts and move on. And I think that that's the way we should be approaching email. They're not supposed to be crafted letters of love unless it's to a friend.
Yes.
But I think we're talking about business emails in this. Treat it like it's a quick business conversation. Hey, where are we at this?
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on the thank you email? Like, if someone gives you information, do you like to email back thanks, or are you like, it's just clogging up an inbox?
I most of the time don't email back thanks unless it's really important that they know that I've seen it. But I will sometimes get in trouble for that. Like, I have been yelled at work for A, not responding to emails faster.
Yeah.
Or B, not acknowledging that I read them.
I wonder if it's like, instead of a thanks, maybe like a Roger that, right? But I always worry that now I'm just clogging up your inbox if you don't need to know that I got it.
I hate the idea that emailing like a woman is considered now a bad thing, because everybody has different styles, and a certain level of emotional intelligence sometimes is helpful when you're trying to communicate ideas.
Yes, you're right. Yeah, you're right. I like emailing like a CEO because I feel like that's a little bit more fair to the gender spectrum.
One thing that she mentioned using is if you're using Gmail, you know how they give you those automated responses on the bottom
now?
Because most people can tell that those are automated responses from Gmail.
Yeah.
Like, use that. Save your time.
Gotcha.
You know, thanks, whatever. Whatever Gmail decides, the robots behind the emails.
Thanks, but that's a no for me, dog.
Thanks, but that's a no for me, dog. Or thanks, but I'm going to pass.
That's great. There's
so much power.
And then they won't read into it because they know it's a Gmail response. So they're not going to be like, but she didn't use an exclamation point.
Yeah.
It's a good idea.
Anyway.
I like that a lot.
Just some food for thought.
Yeah, I think it's worth doing.
If it's something that interests you, do the more Googling around. There's a lot of articles on this on the internet.
I think it's really important and it saves us time.
I'm always worried about sounding angry.
Yes. Yeah,
but
always.
Like, do you think the bosses, the CEOs, care about sounding angry?
No. I was watching the Thomas Crown Affair on the plane yesterday, and I can tell you for one thing, Thomas Crown was never worried that people were angry at him because he was like selling them a building for like $3 million more than the competitors were paying, and he didn't care.
I'm changing this phrase from emailing like a man to emailing like an important individual who's busy but also caring but also can't coddle everybody.
And that flows easier off the tongue.
It does.
My right eye is... Okay, hold. I think it's because of the government. Government is.
It's always because of the government.
Yeah.
You know why? Because you have clear.
I have clear.
Explain to us what clear is.
Clear is like TSA pre-check, but creepier. You pay a monthly fee or whatever. And then it's great for if you're traveling a lot because it's even faster than pre-check.
Yeah.
You go in, you put your fingers on a pad. It reads your fingerprints and retina scans you. So when you sign up for it, they scan your retina in the machine.
You, my friend who won't do 23andMe because you don't want the government to have your DNA.
Yeah.
You let them scan your retina
I
so
did.
You can get onto an airplane.
And I was certainly very conflicted about it as I was doing it, but I did do it.
Yeah.
Because my sister told me to,
yep.
And she's a notoriously private person. Mm. And I figure like, if it's okay enough for her, it's okay for me. Here's the difference.
Mm-hmm.
They have my retina scan and they have my fingerprints. However,
you can't ever steal anything now. You're in the system.
I know, but I feel like being in the system is different than having them have my DNA on file. Because I feel like if they have my DNA on file, they can clone me. And do, you know,
if
like they did to Scarlett Johansson and Ewan McGregor, where they cloned them. They didn't even realize they were clones. They thought they got a trip to this island, but really they were going to get killed so that their really rich counterparts could use their organs. That's what I don't want happening.
There's a new movie with Will Smith coming out where he's a trained killer,
yeah.
And then they clone him and then train his younger self to kill his older self.
CGI still hasn't hit that point where it looks real.
I know.
Poor Will Smith is a genie that doesn't look real and a younger Will Smith that also doesn't look real.
No.
I know. Who are you?
In some of the trailers, the younger Will Smith looks like his face is like painted on, like he has on too much foundation.
Yeah, it's like, you know what it is? everything is still too smooth in terms of movement. Mm-hmm. Like part of the trailer for Gemini Man, baby Will Smith's face is turned away a little bit. So we're just seeing the side and he's talking and you can see how smooth his lips are moving. And it's like, we don't move that smoothly. There's tiny little microscopic jerks. It's not that smooth. There's jerkiness to it.
Yes.
I don't know. It's, I don't want us ever to be able to get the uncanny valley figured out because it means that
We're all in trouble.
We're all in trouble.
We can all be replaced by our younger selves.
Yeah.
I agree.
But yeah, it is really, I don't know.
Bethany, don't know. What did you learn this week?
I learned some nail polish techniques.
Oh, tell me. Do tell.
Okay, so I saw this on Instagram. If you're looking to do sort of like a cool summer sparkly ombre nail situation.
Always.
I have a really hard time if I want the sparklies near the top to fade into nothing at the bottom of the nail.
Yes.
Just with the brush. So what you do is you take a cosmetic wedge sponge.
Oh, yeah.
And you paint the nail polish on one side of it. And then you use it kind of as a stamp.
Oh.
And it just like stamps.
I love that.
The nail polish on your finger. And the way they did it in the video was they did like three different colors on the sponge and then just like went over your nail with it and then put clear over it so it blended all of them.
Well, your nails look fabulous.
Thank you. They're like cosmetic wedge.
A silver, shiny. Yes, that's amazing. Yeah.
Like I messed up on this one, so it looks like I just dipped my nail in nail polish. But this one is like ombre.
Yeah, that's a beautiful one.
So
that's
cosmetic
the one
wedge
that you have to show your friends when you're like, look at what I did. Look what I did.
Don't look at the rest. Kathleen, what'd you learn this week?
So if you're interested in meal prepping like I am, but I have this issue where halfway through the week, I get grossed out by whatever I made on Sunday because I've eaten it 3 days in a row.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I found what I'm not grossed out by.
Okay.
Have you heard of the chickpea pasta, the bonza?
Yes.
There's so much protein. It's really good for you. And
yes,
it's very, very, very filling.
Yes.
I love a good pasta salad, but I don't love, you know, the carb intake that comes with pasta.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
you know, it just doesn't make me feel like my best self. Chickpea pasta, you can make it with tons of veggies, chickpea pasta, and all these different containers. Just put in your favorite salad dressing. I'm like a classic Italian wishbone girl.
Yeah.
I never get sick of eating it. And it's so, so, so easy to make.
I forgot about pasta salad.
Yes.
It's so good. Peas in it.
This needs to be the summer of pasta salad.
Yeah, let's bring back the PS.
The summer of chickpea pasta salad.
Yeah, some peas, some tuna. What else do you put in?
Yeah,
it?
I like celery. To chop up bell peppers.
Ooh, good. Also good.
Arugula.
I'm going to pass on arugula. That's a no for me, dog.
You don't like arugula?
Too sour. Too dry. Too. Yeah.
Okay. I see what you're saying.
I'm going to put candied walnuts.
Yes.
Do those go together?
I don't know.
I don't know either. Let's try it. Maybe a cranberry.
I like a little bit of red onion. I like a little bit of chicken, a little bit of tuna, a little bit of edamame.
Mm-hmm,
maybe
mm-hmm.
shrimp is your jam.
Mm.
A little soy sauce in there. It's for umami. You know, you could put in like a little bit of minced ginger.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Now we're talking crazy.
Whoa.
Buy a little bit of shredded cabbage at the supermarket. Toss that in. A little bit of shredded carrot.
Yeah, good.
Yeah,
love.
Yeah, yeah.
You could also, I don't know, make the pasta, make the wishbone.
Nope.
Pour it together.
You don't make,
whatever
you just
whatever.
Pour the wishbone in.
I don't know
in.
How this works. And then you mix those together and then you set them aside. And then the rest of the week you add whatever different things you want. So it's not always the same salad. Maybe you have peas one day. Maybe the other day you add chicken.
Chicken, whatever came from the garden that morning.
Rabbit, not rabbit.
Not rabbit.
Butter.
No. Are you kidding me?
I legitimately took a piece of butter the other day and just ate that butter.
Oh, you are a
I love
Viking.
Butter.
Do you know how good it tastes when you bite into pasta salad where it's been marinating?
Oh.
Where like the dressing is now absorbed into the pasta.
In it.
So good.
Cheese. We didn't talk about cheese. Put some cheese in that pasta salad.
You cannot put cheese in
sure
pasta
can.
Salad.
Shredded
nope.
cheddar.
Nope.
Throw it. And sometimes it gets stuck in the tube because the bonza is like a tube pasta,
uh-huh.
whichever that one is.
Yeah.
Dennis got mad at me for calling spaghetti the long one. the tube
oh
one.
My God.
Sorry. Put some cheese in the tube one.
Mm-hmm.
Salad, dressing around it. So good.
Black beans. Mexican version.
Great. Croutons. When I was a little kid, I would come home. Latchkey kid.
Mm-hmm.
I would come home.
Yes, so was I.
I would put on Power Rangers.
Mm-hmm.
I would make a quote-unquote salad.
Mm-hmm.
That salad was croutons, cheddar cheese, ranch dressing. I would eat bowls and bowls of it. And I would wonder, why am I the biggest kid in class?
Stop.
Bowls
Stop.
And bowls. And I'm sure my parents were like, where are all the croutons going? And I was like, I'm eating my feelings.
Replace that with structures that are skyscrapers of Ritz crackers and Kraft American in the individual packets. I mean, like, just like 10 feet high, and I would eat the whole thing.
So good.
Yeah, that was my drug of choice.
Yeah. Did you watch TV at the time? While what was your show?
Wishbone.
Uh-huh. What's the story? Wishbone?
Yeah, Carmen Sandiego. Mm-hmm. Anything on Channel 13. We didn't have cable.
I never realized that she was a criminal. She was a criminal.
Come again?
Where in the world is Carmen? They were trying to catch her because she had, like, stolen things. She was a criminal. She's probably in jail right now.
Was that her backstory?
Carmen Sandiego? Why do you think you were trying to find her?
I don't know. Maybe she's just well-traveled and her family has something to tell her.
She was wearing a fedora and a trench coat.
You're right. You're so right.
Criminal!
I never realized this.
We were on the wrong side of history.
That show, the thing about that show is that the opening of the show was so much better than the show.
The Do It Rockapella?
Yes.
Yeah. Sometimes they still performed at casinos and stuff.
I would pay good money to see them.
Should we see where Rockapella is currently performing?
Yes, we should.
I bet you money they're still around. Rockapella. I always had a crush on the long blonde haired guy.
Let's make a road trip out of it. Oh, I remember him.
Yeah, he was the hot one. Rockapella. They formed in 1986. They have an official website. Yeah, they are still active.
Stop it.
They are still active.
They must be in walkers now.
The group's name is an amalgam of rock and a cappella. Yeah, thank you, Wikipedia. Thank you. Understand. We all understand what that means.
Let's get some tickets. Let's make a road trip out of it.
Dude, they're on motherfucking Spotify.
No, they're not.
Hold on.
Play
Wait
something.
A minute.
Where in the world is Carmen Sandiego? Boop.
Can you name this tune?
They're good.
Yeah. That's the blonde right now.
All right, hurry up. He still hot?
Yeah. Well, this also is like from the 80s because he's wearing a vest.
All right, get to it.
What's wrong with a vest?
How about straight, no chaser?
Wait, no, can you please play the Carmen Sandiego theme song?
Yes.
Just for posterity.
Of course. Well, she sneaks around the world. Sneak, we should have known. Sneaking.
This is a bop.
Yeah.
Carmen Sandiego. Oh,
he goes up an octave.
I'm gonna work out to this song.
Forgot he went high.
Is this the blonde one?
Breaking it down.
Fucking up and back. Well, she'll ransack Pakistan and run a scan in Scandinavia.
Then she'll stick them up down under and go pink pocket first. This is good. When she stole the wreath from Lima, tell me where
in the world is Carmen Sandiego. Tell me where in the world. She put the miss in misdemeanor. We should have known.
She went to Lima for some reason, but I couldn't pick up exactly why.
She ran a scam in Scandinavia. If we had listened to the words, we would have fully understood.
Well, now I need to go home and analyze the lyrics of Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego?
This is your weekly reminder. Take a deep breath. Kathleen, where can people find you on social media?
I am at WebGirlKathleen on everything.
Amazing. I'm Ms. Bethany Watson on Instagram. I'm Radio Bethany on the Twitterverse.
If you want to tweet us at this podcast, you can do so at Acquired Podcast.
Instagram at Acquired Taste Podcast.
Facebook, AcquiredTastePodcast.com.
Facebook, yeah.
Did you just lose your will to live?
Yep, lost it. Fully lost it. Email an acquiredtastepodcast@gmail.com.
And if you want to send us some snail mail, we love getting letters. You can do so at an acquired taste podcast, P.O. Box 1717, Hoboken, New Jersey 07030.
Rate, review, subscribe. 5 stars is the best. It helps push us up in the ratings. We would really appreciate it if you do nothing else with your day.
And if you want to leave us a voicemail, we play them at the end of every podcast every week. And I genuinely love listening to them.
So great.
Leave us a message at 917-994-0353.
We love you all.
And if your eyes glazed over during this section of the podcast, this is all available on our Insta stories. You can swipe up and get all the information at Acquired Taste Podcast on Instagram.
I think Drake needs to do a cover of the Carmen Sandiego rockapella song.
He most certainly does, and Cardi B needs to be featured on that.
Yes.
Taste buds, here's what you had to say this week.
Hey, ladies, it's Jessica from New York. I just wanted to call and say, Stephanie, National Treasure is a national treasure and one of the best films, Book of Secrets included. And I wanted to let you know, one, I actually went on a trip to Washington, D.C., went to the estate of Mount Vernon, and got the National Treasure Secrets tour. If you want more details, let me know.
Hey, girls. My name is Chris. I'm from Southington, Ohio. I just started listening to An Acquired Taste, and I wanted to tell you that you're doing an awesome job. I can't wait to catch up to where you are. Pretty good show. Keep it up.
Hey, ladies. My name is Haley. I just wanted to call and let you guys know and congratulate my fellow taste bud and best friend, Tessa, because she just got into the University of South Carolina, where she's going for vocal performance, and I'm so proud of her and happy that she's taking this new step.
Hello, ladies. This is Kaylee. I'm just calling because I have to tell you, Kathleen, that I finally got around to watching When Harry Met Sally. It was everything I hoped it would be.
Good morning, ladies. It is 4:30 in the morning, which is just an unholy hour. But I'm up because I'm a teacher and I have to go help chaperone a field trip. So here we go. Anyway, I'm calling because I was listening to your latest podcast. This is Jenna, by the way. And you were talking about yoga. You were talking about cat yoga, puppy yoga, goat yoga. I'm a yoga teacher, and something that we do at my studio every other month is we go to our local SPCA and teach a class with either kittens or puppies, and we donate all the proceeds back to the SPCA. And it's freaking awesome. It's pretty much the best time ever because the kitties just run around and, like, chew on your shoes and stuff, and the puppies, sometimes they pee on people's mats, but we have, like, the volunteers there just to clean it up right away. So it's the best time, and I just wanted you to know that it exists, and it is as amazing as it sounds.
What's up, everybody? This is Bethany Watson. I'm actually one of the co-hosts of this very podcast, and I am calling because I'm at the airport, and it's crappy. Starbucks forgot my order, and I just sit around waiting, and then when I told them they forgot my order, they didn't believe me that I had ever ordered, and the woman who took my order said she didn't remember me. And then when I went to sit down, a woman sitting with a dog said I couldn't sit there because more people were coming, but she hadn't saved the seat, and also I wanted to sit by a dog. So not earth-shattering, but like kind of a crappy start to the morning. And I just wanted to call someone and complain about it. And so that is what this is for. And I love everyone. And I hope you have a good week. Okay, bye.